This is Be the Story. This time, we're going to look at using conflict to enhance the mood, make it more intense. I'll cite a few stories that demonstrate how this might be done, and I'll also give you an example of how to do it in your own stories. That's coming up on Be the Story. Welcome to Be the Story, the podcast about stories and telling them. I'm Tim King, and I finally got the next episode of this podcast posted. At least I assume I did, or else you wouldn't be listening to this right now. I want to get right to the last part in this series about setting the mood, basically manipulating the emotions of your audience. But first, let me just go over the highlights of what has been posted at BeTheStory.com since the last podcast episode. There was a Be the Story Spotlight episode for the movie The Notebook, which I'll actually mention a little later in this podcast episode. In short, I liked the movie. And with the announcement that Amy Sherman-Palladino and Dan Palladino, the creators of Gilmore Girls, the TV show, with their announcement that official announcement that they are leaving the show this season, I wrote a couple of articles, actually, posted one to BeTheStory.com, and one was more about the entrepreneurial aspects of what I got from an interview that they did with Michael Osiello. So, basically, I just like to gush about great stories, and so that's one of them. If you're getting sick and tired of me talking about Gilmore Girls, well, take heart. The season 6 is over, and probably season 7 will be the last season. I say probably because, well, I don't know. I just have a sixth sense about this. Of course, I have frequently been wrong about future predictions, so, you know, don't take anything I say about what's going to happen 2 years down the road with any credibility. I also posted about game reviews and how they treat story-based games. Basically, I don't think that the video games industry really understands what a story is or the power that it has or, you know, how to analyze. And so we get these video game reviews, even for games that have very good stories, and the reviewers just don't know how to review a story. If they had to review a movie, they would just completely flop at it. There's also a post called Short Stories for Success, inspired by something that Holly Lyle said on an episode of her podcast. By the way, excellent podcast, and I love Holly Lyle's work, so definitely check that out. And also, Short Stories for Success, inspired by something Holly Lyle said, and something I read in Steve Pavlina's blog. Basically, If you want to try something out, put it into a short story or a chapter or whatever, just a passage. See if it works. A lot of the things that I talk about here, you know, you may disagree that these things actually work or that they will work for you or whatever. And that's fine. There is no one true way to write. And there's no one true way to appreciate fiction. So, you know, if you can identify with that particular approach, then that's fine. If just try it. If it works, then, you know, you will have learned something. That's basically the approach that I like to follow when I'm writing and when I'm reading. And lastly, using conflict to keep the flow. It's very closely related to what we're talking about today, using conflict to set the mood, or actually, as we'll get into, to make the mood more intense. And it's all part of the same thing. Conflict is the engine behind a story. It's what brings a person in and draws a person in. I'll actually get to this in a little bit later in this episode. So just hang on for this short message, and we'll be right back.
From the worlds between the pages of your favorite book to adventures teetering on the edge of the dice. The pilot's at the helm and our course is set. The dream ship gathers speed across the sea of possibilities. Welcome aboard the Dragonhearth.
I'm Tracy Hickman.
And I'm Laura Hickman. Each month we explore the limitless expanse of creative fiction and games. From the nuts and bolts of writing and publishing to the worlds of our creation.
Whether you're looking for practical advice on plot, character, and setting, or in search of new and distant realms of speculative fiction to explore, you'll find a home here on Dragonhearth.
Join our next voyage through your favorite RSS server or by visiting us at DragonhearthProductions.com. Tracy and Laura Hickman's Dragonhearth, voyages into the realms of imagination.
Ridiculous, Paris. He can sit in your room. I'm still getting ready.
Then he can sit in the hallway.
What's your problem?
I'll tell you my problem, Andre. Last time you sat on our couch, your mesomorphic frame carved a 4-foot crater in it. I felt like I was sitting in a bucket.
You're so full of it, Paris.
Kids were skateboarding up and down it. Gandalf the Grey is still falling down it. It was a big hole.
What does mesomorphic mean?
It means you've got a fat ass, pal.
Just ignore her and sit, Klee.
Do not sit, Klee.
It's my place, too.
Yours. Not that Brobdingnagian twit.
So every friend I bring here has to pass your anal standards?
No, he just has to pass through the door without damaging the frame.
Oh, forget it. Just come into my room, Klee.
Good.
Got another hot night at the library plan, Paris?
He's still in here.
There's nothing like the bitterness of the lonely.
Yeah.
Nice addition, Patsy.
Go put on your spinster dress.
I really hate when you guys fight. Calling me a spinster. I should stick a javelin in her brain.
So how did that make you feel? Probably a little tense. Unless you have no sympathy for the characters and a dark sense of humor. But generally, you put a conflict in a story and it's going to increase the tension. But conflict can do more than just make a story feel tense. It can do more than just make a story feel suspenseful. Conflict is what engages the audience in the story. The ability to root for the characters. It's what makes us sympathize with the characters and be able to identify with the protagonist. And it can also heighten other emotions that get communicated to us through the story, that the story communicates to us. In fact, usually when we say a conflict makes the story feel tense, it's actually the suspensefulness that comes from some other aspect of the story that's merely heightened by the fact that we are now engaged in the story because of the conflict. So, for example, in a thriller, off the top of my head, C.J. West's novel Sin and Vengeance, something I read recently, it's a page-turning suspense novel, a thriller, and it really does. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. You just need to find out what's going to happen next. But the real suspense, the tenseness, the thrill, comes from the relationship between the protagonist and the antagonist. The antagonist, you just don't know what he's capable of, or actually worse than that, you do know what he's capable of. And so you're just terrified for the main character. It's that sense of danger, that fight or flight response, that conflict can really enhance and bring out. I mentioned sympathy, just in general, feeling sympathetic to be able to root for the underdog. In a romance story, the most romantic parts have nothing to do with the two main characters getting together, but rather it's the longing to get together. It's the unrequited love that really makes the romance a strong. And likewise, passion and desire, it's not fulfilled passion, but unfulfilled passion that is the conflict that really draws you into the story and make you feel what the story is bringing upon you. So let's consider a couple more examples. Tom Sawyer. Despite the fact that he's a rambunctious little boy, he's also a sympathetic character. And the fact that he is always getting into trouble just makes us sympathize with him all the more. And then when he develops a crush on Becky Thatcher, and then when he gets on Injun Joe's bad side, because, of course, he was someplace where he wasn't supposed to be or expected to be and witnessed a murder, well, then we really sympathize with him. We end up feeling essentially the same way he does. Here's a more recent example. And I know I've mentioned this several times in different forums already. I'm thinking of the end of the sixth season of Gilmore Girls. And as you know, I absolutely adore the show Gilmore Girls. Some fans were really upset with the season finale because several important things happened. Basically, the story got very, very intense, especially for Lorelai and her fiancé, Luke. And while this may seem kind of melodramatic if you're not into the show, the fact is that I think, at least I know, the only reason I might have disliked the last few episodes is because I identify so strongly with the characters that, you know, when they go through these really intense experiences, it affects me personally. I'm feeling the sadness along with them. I'm feeling depression along with Lorelai. I'm feeling the confusion. I'm feeling the tenseness along with Luke. I'm feeling the utter despair and yet inevitability along with Rory. And actually, I'm also feeling hopefulness because of what Logan is doing. But that's a completely different story. All these things are possible because of the conflicts in the storyline. If you didn't have conflict, there would be no reason to care about what happens next in the story. As it is, people are speculating about season 7. What's happening now that the creators of the show, Dan Palladino and Amy Sherman Palladino, are leaving the show, will the new producers be able to maintain the same quality? Are they going to really be able to take this storyline in a good direction and so forth? And of course, if you're a storyteller, then you know, of course they can. All the ingredients that you need are right here. Dan and Amy left the show in good hands and with a great push. The momentum is already there. The fans already care, and it will be fairly, well, I don't want to say easy, but perhaps easier than if the show were in its first season for the new producers to make a go at it. And this is all because of the conflict. I mentioned that some fans, are upset. Actually, it seems that a lot of fans are upset over the way season 6 ended up. I think that's because they care so much about these characters. You know, we watch this show, and sometimes I have to remind myself, these are just actors playing parts. They're not real people. That's how immersive the storyline is when you have good conflict consistently throughout the storyline. And in a couple of years, people are going to look back at the 6th season and say, wow, you know, that was a really powerful season. It ended up really powerfully right into the 7th season. That's after they have all the DVD sets and they can just watch all these episodes straight through without the season breaks, right? At least I know that's how I ended up feeling about season 4. But again, that's another story. Part of this conflict, or one of these conflicts, is, of course, a romantic conflict. And if you're familiar with the show, then you'll understand what I'm getting at. The whole romantic feeling and the pain that we feel for the characters that sometimes makes us want to cry, that, of course, happens because of a romance unfulfilled. Another example, the movie Casablanca. Why would anyone cry at Casablanca? Well, it's because we sympathize with Rick, because he, of course, is doing a good thing for the most part. And he is in love with Ilsa, and she obviously still with him. And as we go through the story, the fact that they can't be in love, it makes us feel hopeless, lost. The truth is actually that Casablanca didn't make me cry. But The Notebook did. That is the movie. I haven't yet had a chance to read the novel by Nicholas Sparks. And for essentially the same reason, I mean, reviewers or critics, movie critics, have described The Notebook as being, you know, a sappy romance story. Well, why does a sappy romance story work? It works because we have this romantic tension. We have this unfulfilled love. We have conflict. It draws us in. It makes us feel what the characters are feeling. It's so simple. In a moment, I want to read for you a short piece that demonstrates this sort of drawing you in order to enhance the emotion.
The following takes place between It Was a Dark and Stormy Night and what would happen next, only time will tell. This is Bauer.
Jack, this is CTU. Where are you? We need you in the field.
I can't. I am in the middle of a severe plot twist.
Jack, what are you talking about?
What I am talking about is my daily word count, my goals in character development, and my possibilities in getting published.
Jack, your country needs you. You should be in the field.
No, I should be writing. Just like Myra Lafferty tells me on her podcast. She gives writing tips, personal anecdotes, and even features published authors in interviews. It's a totally Airwolf podcast.
Jack, you can't be...
Hold on. My position has been compromised. Repeat, my position has been compromised.
We'll send back...
No! Send me an editor!
Jack, you're pinned down. You should be returning fire.
No! I should be listening to Myra's podcast! I should be writing! Time is short. Subscribe to Myra Lafferty's I Should Be Writing at ishouldbewriting.com. Your life and the fate of the free world may depend on it.
Welcome back to Be the Story. If we want to use conflict to enhance an emotion, basically, same basic steps that we always use in order to build any sort of effect into our story. Decide what emotion we want. Think of a conflict that will cause the audience or even better, the character to feel that emotion, have the audience identify with that character, and then put that character through that conflict. So, for example, last September, I wrote a short story called Pine, and it's actually posted on my live journal. The story was inspired by, it was actually a writing project that was supposed to be inspired by, a photograph of a house. And I knew I didn't just want to write a flowery descriptive passage about a house, because no matter how creative I was, that would be boring. I needed a conflict to draw the reader in. So I just wanted to decide. All I had to do was decide what the conflict was. And I decided that I wanted a first love feeling. Standard romance story. Right? I know the idea is a cliche, but, well, frankly, just about any idea is going to be a cliche. Still, it serves, even if you think that the story, and you should actually read the story and tell me whether you think it's a complete cliche or whether it's any good. But even if you think the story is a cliche, I do think it demonstrates the principle that I'm talking about here. So I'd like to read you just the first part of the story to show you where I was going with this. And I'll put a link to the whole story in the show notes at bethestory.com. This story is called Pine. Each morning, Jace walked by her house on his way to school. Each afternoon, he passed it on his way home. Sometimes he would also pass at other times. Occasionally, He would catch a glimpse of the bright-faced girl with wavy blonde locks. She sat under the two conifers that towered overhead. But as far as he knew, she never noticed him. The house itself, a gray stick Victorian with brown trim, spoke of a happy family. Its expansive porch took a jaunt through the sweet-scented yellows and reds of the flower garden, and little gabled alcoves jutted into the world, embraced by the overall form of the structure, as if its gables were parents looking after their offspring. A squat wall of white stone stood before this all, making up in intensity what it lacked in stature, a formidable protector to all within. But the trees were even more special, for under these Jennifer would read, or sometimes she would just be sitting quietly or humming softly a tune Jace didn't recognize. Jace paid her no heed, or else she might see his admiration. But out of the corner of his eye, he noticed her shapely form, and he fought to keep breathing. And in his imagination, he felt the softness of her pink cashmere sweater in his delicate hands. He felt her fingers running through his thick, dark hair. Her chocolate eyes and his ordinary brown ones got lost in each other. Perhaps his finger stroked the line of her eyebrow, following her face around softly curved cheek and jaw, finally resting under her chin. But Jace said nothing, made no motion out of the ordinary. He merely continued walking as nonchalantly as possible for a big-footed, lanky teen in a gray tee and worn khakis. So that was the introduction to my short story, Pine. And you can actually read that at bethestory.com. It's actually on my live journal, and I'll put a link there in the show notes. Next time on Be the Story, I thought I'd do a little bit on genre fiction. In particular, strange fiction. How to integrate the strange, the supernatural, future technology, speculative elements into fiction. And why the subject is important for mainstream fiction. So that's next time on Be the Story. Please visit the blog at bethestory.com and subscribe to the blog and podcast, and that way you won't miss the next episode. You can subscribe either via RSS or Atom if you know anything about those technologies, or if you want to, you can subscribe via email. It's all there in the top box at bethestory.com. And please tell your friends, anyone you think that might enjoy this podcast or blog, point them to it. In particular, I really appreciate the feedback that I get from new viewers of the site. And thank you for listening. Please comment on the blog at bethestory.com or email me with feedback, timk@bethestory.com. Or you can phone in an audio feedback response at 206-350-STRY. That's 206-350-7879. In any case, I'll see you next time. Bye now.